Welcome to another episode of Keeping It Low Key. My name is Gabriel. This is Brandon. And we're joined by Dandelion Hands today. What's up?
Hello.
What's up, dude? All right. I have like a really quick question for you.
Okay.
Just like straight up. Is Nick Heck your actual name?
Yeah, that's real. Technically, my name was changed to that, but really? When I was younger. So like, it's not like I changed my name to Nick Heck on purpose.
I gotcha. Cause I assumed that was your actual name. And then Brandon was like, I think that's like part of the persona. And then I was like,
Oh God, is there a persona too?
I don't know. You got that meme.
Persona 5 Royale over here?
You got that meme vibe to you.
That's good, I guess.
Yeah. No, it's a good vibe. I like it. So you said you have your own podcast and stuff. How's that going?
I forgot to make episodes for like 5 months. So episode 3 comes out this week.
Yeah. Nice.
That's cool.
It's all about trying. It doesn't matter if you forget for, you know, months and months.
Yeah, me and Brandon have been kind of inconsistent. It's like
it happens.
Like, it's regular, but it's
we great. Wouldn't be inconsistent. Okay, so I originally recommended once every other Friday.
Okay.
And then Gabe was like, "Nah, we can pump them out every Friday." That didn't happen.
Yeah, it's super difficult.
I told you.
That's like so much work.
It is. And then getting in touch with musicians can be its own challenge, which by the way, thank you for accepting this. It means a lot.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. we do have our fair share of getting ghosted. So we're like,
yeah, I'm pretty familiar with that as well.
Also, you are our second biggest interview on this podcast.
Second. Oh, who's cooler than me?
What, Destroy Boys?
Destroy Boys.
Yeah, Destroy Boys.
Destroy Boys.
Yeah, they're
Sacramento punk band.
Oh, okay. No, definitely cooler than me. Absolutely.
By the way, where are you based out of? Because like
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, that's what it is? Okay. Yes. All right. That's good. We're starting to branch out from California. We've only recently like got out of like our California swing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, and it's good to get out of that because usually that means
you say we've had a California swing. This is our fifth interview. Only two of them have been from California.
Yeah, but
it's a swing, right?
Yeah,
it wasn't really a swing though, because it was one person from California, one person from our state, or one band from our state, then another band from California. It was never like a consistent thing.
No, for real. But yeah. I guess I don't know. I feel like that California has a vibe.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But all right, so getting into this and getting into more about you.
Oh boy.
You definitely, I feel like you have a different vibe than a lot of the musicians we've interviewed, because you feel like a musician that knows his meme game. That's what it feels like.
Oh man, I love to hear that. I love to hear that.
Yeah, and I feel like that's like kind of like a lot of like where your audience comes from.
Really? You think from meme?
Well, not necessarily like memes, but like just the I think just like the aesthetic that you carry, and it's like the
okay.
Yeah, I feel like do you do live shows?
Well, not now, obviously.
Right, but, right, not right now. Yeah.
Not really beforehand. Like I played like 3 or 4 shows, but like not that many.
I got you. What were those shows like?
It was weird. It was nice. One of the things that I remember that I really liked was like somebody came up to me afterwards, because like the show that I had played, I forgot my set list, and like I said that while I forgot my set list, and then like the manager, whoever set up the show, thought that was like a joke. So we're like, haha, you forgot the set list. It's like, no, really, I forgot. So it was this whole, I messed up a bunch of times. But at the end, like somebody came up to me afterward and was like, it was so refreshing to see you fuck up. Like, I'm so glad you're a human being. I was like, you know what? That I would so much, that warms my heart. Like, I'm glad I could be seen as a human.
Right. What is your audience consist of? Because I feel like it's so, it's hard to pin, like, you are like an enigma to me. Like, your audience is so, I feel like your audience is hard to pinpoint exactly like who's listening, but there's a lot of people listening.
Everybody is secretly a Dandelion Hands listener. Like, uh-huh. Everybody's at least heard like one song, probably.
Right.
I guess my audience is, I mean, I could look up the math, but that's not fun. Like it's just like sad teens, I would say. If I had to pick two categories, sad and teen, for sure.
Yeah.
I think Panic Attack at the Disco.
Mm.
That's my go-to depression song.
That's a good one.
It's so good with the text-to-speech voice.
Oh yeah, it's good. What's your like?
Oh hell yeah! What's your robot made an appearance?
What's your like writing process for all of these? Because they're so like a lot of your songs are just so abstract and it's like almost very conceptual.
I guess so. Like I don't necessarily have like one formula that I follow or like one set of steps, but like usually it's just like I'll. Like I sing all the time when I do like what opening the refrigerator, like shit like that, like nothing, nothing of importance, but like sometimes the melodies will be like really good. So I'll start with that and then I'll put that melody over like some basic chords. And then it's like, what do I want the song to be about? Uh-huh. And then the synth, it's all about the secret synth, like the synth that's like in the back of your right ear during songs that's like not loud but it's always there in like almost every song, the secret synth. Yeah, but songwriting process is just like it's very short, I guess. If I had to like categorize all of it's short. Like I usually go, I think of the song and write it and record it all in like the same day.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I do it for multiple days, sometimes I like lose the feeling or whatever. Like I won't be in the same mindset, so I won't be able to flow with it the same way. So
I got you.
I gotta just like focus on it all at one time. But yeah,
I got you. So like, I mean, it's like, what? How would you like characterize your genre that you make? Because it's like,
I have gotten that a couple. Because it's hard. You can't really put it on like. Like indie is, it's too big of like a umbrella. Like, but like the more specific you get, like the more pretentious it is. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. no, please. I would just consider you, well, I feel like the bedroom pop umbrella is really large now too, but
yeah,
like just anything that has like a little bit of fuzz on it, I feel like is characterized as bedroom pop.
Yeah, pretty much.
At this like point, Gabe tried to tell me, have you heard of Mom Jeans?
Yeah,
Gabe was like, Mom Jeans, bedroom pop, and I was like that's Midwestern emo, Gabe. And he was like,
I feel like those two are closely linked. Kind
of like they vibe together well in a playlist, but I feel like the musical styles are still very different.
I think what does it for me is those two genres, they're so like they both carry the same like emotional like type of type of like thing to it, and it's like I think that's what makes me compare the two. But yeah, no, like what do you draw inspiration from? It's
a lot of my songs are just like about my life or things that I see or hear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean like the like a song off the news that like Abernathy Ghoul, I was not attacked by like a ghoul. But like there are a couple of the other songs, like it's very personal, just about like personal stuff I went through.
I got you. No, well, it's very easy to connect to, I think.
I do get that it's that a lot of people connect with it, and that's like, it's cool. I'm glad that a lot of people are together in this one, you know. But it's usually over, it's like bonding over sadness, and it's like I wish that many people weren't sad. You know.
Yeah, but no, I think in a way music has always been like a very therapeutic thing that, for sure, like brings people together. Do you get a lot of like fan mail, like saying like, hey, like, you know, this has helped me through like a rough time? Or
I don't want to, there's no point in bragging about stuff, but
right.
I mean, yeah, like people have sent me things like that, and I try to like get back to as many people as I can, but responding on social media is, I'm very, very, very bad at it. But yeah, like if I get like a heartfelt email or something, like I'll absolutely be like, hey, thank you so much. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's nice to hear from people.
I gotcha. Yeah. So like, I don't know. I mean, would you like consider experimenting with like more of that electronic voice and stuff that you use? And like, I guess what comes from, like, what are the different elements that you incorporate into your music, like in terms of like when you put a song together, like what do you draw from? Like, what are you saying? Like, this part of the song needs like this, and this part of the song needs that. Like, for example, in Panic Attack at the Disco, you've got the electronic like voice to text. In
Okay. I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Honestly, the songs where I use text-to-speech, it's just because like I tried to sing it a million times and I couldn't get it right, and I was like frustrated. So I was just like, it, have the robot do it.
Like, it's so good.
It is good.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, it works out almost every single time. Like, right. It just sounds better that way. So that's mm-hmm. fine. Sometimes I'm willing to give the reins to the robot.
So do you describe your, like, you already said that you consider your genre like it appeals to like sad teens. Is there like ever gonna be like a happy
Dandelion project?
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, if I just have like the best time of my life and I can't have one single sad thought, then I'll probably just write some happy songs.
I gotcha. No, it's weird kind of like talking about this, but it's like, I already said it, music is so therapeutic, and it's like, were you intending to appeal to like that demographic?
I didn't think that I would have a demographic, like, period. I literally just uploaded my music so that I wouldn't lose it. My computer was always breaking. So I'll just put it online. I don't have to, you know, I don't have to worry about it. And then over time, people found it. Like, I had no plans or ideas about any kind of anything. And
mm-hmm.
that the opposite happened.
So like, what started your music making then?
I was just dealing with some stuff, and I didn't really have anybody to like talk to about it. So I just made songs about the things I was going through. It sounds like it's very dramatic. It's very, I don't know. It seems silly, but I guess just how I process things mm-hmm. through writing, I guess.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I like that. You're such a different musician. I'll say that. You're such a different musician. But you've got such a big following, and it's like,
I guess so.
It's cool. You have a, what is it, 430,000 monthly listeners?
Yeah.
Like that.
On Spotify.
Well,
does that number surprise you?
At the beginning of the year, like before that which shall not be named, it was like less than half of that. So.
Oh, really?
That number is a little surprising to me.
Your top song is How to Never Stop Being Sad with 16.2 million plays.
I just did like a thing, it feels like a month or two ago, where I was like celebrating 10 million plays. Like I did a Twitch stream or something where I listened to like every song I ever released and like reacted to it.
Right.
It was pretty fun, but already at 16, okay.
So has COVID kind of impacted like how your process of music making goes?
I mean not really. It gave me the opportunity to like work on music, I guess. It gave me more time. Before, like I just didn't have time. I was just doing a lot of stuff. I had a lot of stuff to do. I don't know. But yeah, it gave me the time to work on stuff. Luckily, I don't like do shows or like rely on merch or anything. So, COVID didn't really, like change anything for me, music wise.
I gotcha. It's a very different answer than we usually hear.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of the musicians tell us that like it slowed them down a bit.
Well, except Five Loko, because they started during the pandemic.
Yeah, Five Loko is kind of born out of this, but yeah, all the other ones are like, this has been such a like it's such kind of like a hindrance to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there are a lot of musicians that are more social and that they like they're activated when they're with people. Mm-hmm. So like I could understand how like long periods of time without that will hinder you, but I'm not that.
Very introverted.
Absolutely.
Oh, I gotcha. So you mentioned Twitch streaming then. Are you like a gamer then? Like, is this like a side thing?
There's a controller right behind him.
Yeah, I see the controller and the keyboard up there.
I don't tell Miyamoto, but I got Hyrule Warriors a couple days early.
Oh, so nice.
I've been playing that.
That's solid.
But yeah, dude, I totally game, dude. I've liked video games for like so long. But it's not a very easy transition to be like, hey, you guys like to cry to my music? You want to watch me play like Chrono Trigger? It's like, no, not really. I wish, but I don't know.
You already get your hands on the PS5?
No, I tried.
Oh, you tried?
I'm not that cool.
I'm hopefully going to get it around Christmas time, but.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Who knows?
All right, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 27.
Well, he topped it. Yeah.
You're our oldest artist.
Yeah.
Great. Love to hear it.
No, that's, and I have like a weird question. While we were doing research about you, okay, like in preparation for this.
You're talking about the article?
Yeah, the article, the interview. The first question.
Okay, I can pull it up.
Yeah, pull it up.
Really okay. Quick.
Yeah, your response is very, very interesting, and I want to know the background behind it.
Okay.
I feel like you might already know what I'm talking about.
He's done multiple interviews.
It's an interview.
Here we go.
What are your earliest memories of music? You responded with, "When I was crafted from the light and given to this world as a gift from the gods at the tender age of 14." The first song I ever heard was Falling Out of Love at This Volume by Bright Eyes.
True.
Very true. What does it mean?
Well, that just means Dandelion Hands started when I was 14 and was inspired by hearing that kind of music.
Oh, okay. I thought you were having a psychotic break and you thought you were born at 14.
Yeah.
Just a full-grown teenager.
Yeah.
So is like Dandelion Hands more of a persona necessarily than an artist?
It's as far as I'm concerned, it's just two words that help you search for my music easily. But yeah, I don't know. it's, I don't know. I think I don't necessarily understand the people who think I put on like a persona or something. I'm just awkward and weird as like, that's just me, dude.
No, I feel that. No, that's cool. Okay, so it's very genuine then.
Yeah,
I gotcha. No, so like,
I mean, not like I don't goof around. I can make a joke or two, but yeah, for the most part, a lot of the stuff I say isn't genuine.
I gotcha. No, that's awesome. Oh, hold on. We got.
Nice.
Yeah, this happens every once in a while.
His little brother just walked in.
Our podcast is super DIY, if you can't tell.
Yeah, seriously.
We have an extra person here actually sitting in the back of the room. He's gone now because he just picked up his little brother and took him out of the room. But that's nice. We should start doing that more.
Oh,
having a third person to just take your things away.
Yeah.
So like, what have you been doing recently then? Have you been working on any new projects?
I just came out with music, Growing Pains, that came out on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah, it's not on streaming. It's on Bandcamp. It's not on streaming services right now because of some BS with my distributor. But hopefully it'll be up soon. Otherwise I've just been working on, like video games, like making them.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
Like not only am I a gamer, I'm a make games gamer.
Mm-hmm.
There's one game that like my main focus game, that'll take like forever to come out. And I'm working on like a couple ROM hacks of different games that I like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's cool.
That's what I'm doing. Just fucking around, making video game. I'm playing a lot of Magic: The Gathering Arena. I don't mm-hmm. know if you are into that.
I was briefly, and then like Hearthstone was kind of like more my thing.
Yeah,
I used to open Pokemon cards when I was little.
There you go.
Yeah, I got you. Is there like, are you gonna blend your music and your video games together?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll be making the music for the games as well, so like
right, but is the music gonna be more of like a, like is the music gonna be like, you know, like traditional 8-bit, or is it gonna be like
yeah well like it's definitely not like full orchestra. We're not talking like Final Fantasy 12. But like one of them is, it's a Super Nintendo game, so I'll be using like the sound chip or whatever that's on the actual Super Nintendo, so it'll be restrained to or constrained to whatever mm-hmm. I can do with that.
That's cool. Yeah,
yeah, I love bleepy and bloopy music.
Yeah,
you seem you seem like really educated then, if like you know how to do all of this. Are you like,
I guess so.
Did you go to college?
I did one semester at community college and not for any kind of like technological anything.
Oh, I got you. Well, I mean, you seem like you know what you're doing though.
I mean, basically all the, like if I'm into something, I just figure out how to do it on my own. I did that with music. I did that with like video game dev stuff. Like if I'm into something, I just figure out how to do it. Enough trial and error, mostly.
Okay. So like, you seem pretty driven then to do what you want.
You seem driven to do what you want. Yes. Yep. I am determined to do what I want. Sure.
So I haven't listened to all of your discography yet, which I try to, like with all the artists we interview, but the interview kind of just came up on me and I was like, oh, ooh, I did not get to this in time because I've been listening to Mom Jeans, and I've listened to their album Best Buds 38 times in the past 7 days.
Shit.
Yeah. Your girlfriend's really into Dandelion Hands.
Okay? Yeah, my girlfriend really likes you.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's how I think that's how I found you, because I think she added a song to a playlist she made for me.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a Dandelion Hands listener.
Yeah, yeah. you have your own Spotify playlist, correct?
I playlists, I guess.
You have your own Spotify curated playlist, correct?
Oh yeah, like this is Dandelion Hands or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, does Spotify contact you before they make that, or do they just straight up do it?
It was just on my profile one day, and I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Oh my god.
Oh, I had a point with the whole I hadn't listened to all of your albums thing.
Oh yeah, I thought we were just talking shit here. Okay. All right.
I had a point with that. So I haven't made it to the Commission's albums yet. And I read something about those in the interview. Like, do other people write stuff and send it to you when you record it? Like, is it an actual commission, or is that just the name of the album?
Okay, so it was people could buy a song for $50, and they would send me what they want it to be about and what instruments they want on it. And then I would write the song and record it. Yeah.
That's cool. Are you planning on doing any more of those?
Maybe in the future. I don't I would want to, I would want to raise the price though. And I just don't, now is not the time to offer overpriced commissions.
That's true.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
Speaking of, wait, let me get it. Oh, let me.
I just got in the mail. Oh, wait. There it is. I just got in the mail.
Cassettes of Commissions 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, nice. Oh,
that's pretty cool.
So I wouldn't normally shill this fucking hard, but I literally just got these in the mail the other day. So
no, that's so cool. It's dope. Have you considered getting your stuff on vinyl?
Yes. But it's super expensive. Just for 200 albums,
$10,000. Oh, okay, yeah.
So, yeah, it's not cost. If you're making vinyls, it's a commodity, or I forget what it's called.
Okay, so you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. So, is the amount of money you make from Spotify pretty minimal then?
So I won't give any exact numbers, but
right, yeah.
Spotify is my only source of income, and I have my own apartment.
Oh, okay. So you do.
Nice.
All right.
That's all I'll say.
All right. So you live off of your art. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's awesome. That's really awesome.
I think that's should be the goal for every artist.
Yeah, absolutely. It's super nice, and a lot of people are not this fortunate, so I'm super duper grateful.
I got you. No, I got you.
Hey, thanks for tuning into that clip of the Keeping It Low Key podcast. You can find the rest of the episode at Keeping It Low Key YouTube channel, or find us on Spotify. Thank you so much. See you next time.